Radio MD. It's time to Ask Dr. Mike. Do you have a question about your health? Dr. Mike can answer your questions. Just email askdrmikesmith@radiomd.com or call now 877-711-5211. The lines are open.
So this first question is a medical myth. It has to do with a medical myth. Let me just state the medical myth, and then I'll go into the question that Ryan sent in. Here's the medical myth. Testosterone supplementation or testosterone hormone replacement in a man causes prostate cancer. That is a myth. That myth has, it's just a myth. It's not factual. It's been disproven that testosterone causes prostate cancer. And as a matter of fact, the research disproving this goes back many, many years, and it comes out of Harvard. Dr. Morgenthaler is a Harvard researcher who is a urologist, and he did a lot of research. You're talking thousands of men looking at testosterone replacement, prostate cancer. There's just no link. As a matter of fact, it's low testosterone that tends to cause the problem, and if I have a chance, I'll explain that. But let me go to the question Ryan sent in. My doctor put me on testosterone. I got to move my paper over here. My doctor put me on testosterone a couple of years ago because it was extremely low. Since then, I have more energy and my libido is awesome. But now he wants to stop it because my level is high. He says it could be dangerous to continue. What are your thoughts? Thanks, Ryan. I don't know what you mean by testosterone's high now. There is an optimal range. And it's not the conventional range that you'll find on the lab report, Ryan. Instead, I like men to have testosterone levels of that when they were in their 20s, upper 20s, which is somewhere between 500 and 700. So when you say high, and by the way, the conventional lab reference range that you see on the lab results, that's based on your age. And I don't know what your age is, but let's say you're 60. The average testosterone for a 60-year-old man, if you just look at all the 60-year-old men out there, the average testosterone is probably more like 250 to 450. So if you're taking testosterone and you get up in the 500-600 range, your doctor's going to say, oh my God, that's too high. Well, no, I actually think that's optimal. I want you to be more like a 20-year-old. So it's hard to answer this because I'm not really sure what you mean by high. Now, if you're over 700, 800, 900, into the 1,000, well, yeah, then maybe you do need to take a little break. There is an optimal range. There's an optimal range and dose for everything we do, including hormones. So assuming that you're still within the, maybe you're high for your age, but you're in the optimal range that we like to see, no, I don't think there's any reason to discontinue it. Pulling from your question here, your doctor thinks it's dangerous to continue. And I think I'm making a lot of assumptions here because I don't have a lot to go with in the question, but most likely your doctor is, following that medical myth that testosterone causes prostate cancer. And it doesn't. That's been well disproven by really good research coming out of Harvard. By the way, we've summarized all of that research at lifeextension.com. You can just search testosterone, prostate cancer, search Dr. Morgenthaler. We did a whole article on him, and he's done some great work over the past like 20 years on all this. And it's just, there's no association of taking testosterone and increasing prostate cancer risk. It's a myth. As a matter of fact, what we do believe is causing most of the prostate issues with men is not high testosterone, it's actually low. So the question becomes, well, why is a guy's testosterone level low and how is that affecting the prostate? Well, number one is we don't make as much testosterone as we get older, so we are losing production. But also what happens is testosterone, as a man gets older, tends to convert into the estrogens more, and also converts into a very potent form of testosterone called DHT, dihydrotestosterone. Most of the research is showing that it's the estrogen and it's the DHT that's affecting the prostate that's causing problems, not testosterone itself, not free testosterone, which is actually dropping. So assuming that your doctor is calling it dangerous because of the prostate cancer risk, well, it's just wrong. what I might encourage you to do is, you know, print out some of the articles that we've written at Life Extension summarizing Harvard's Dr. Morgenthaler's work, and take it into your doctor and say, here's the truth of it. You know, what do you think now, doc? And see what he wants to do about that. And if he still doesn't want to give you more testosterone, maybe you go find another doctor. You are the consumer. So that's what I would do. I would show your doctor that it's just myth to think testosterone replacement increases prostate cancer risk. Now, the flip side of that, though, there is a caveat there. If you have if you have prostate cancer, you've been diagnosed with prostate cancer, and you start taking testosterone, well, that's maybe not good, because sometimes those prostate cancers require testosterone to grow. You know, which is why we often treat prostate cancer with, you know, testosterone deprivation therapy or androgen deprivation therapy. So if you already have established prostate cancer, yeah, don't do it. Right? But it's a myth to think that testosterone increases the risk of developing the cancer in the first place. That's the myth. Okay? So maybe you just need to educate your doctor, and hopefully he's open to that education, Ryan. Okay, next question. I seem to suffer from migraines without the headache. I experience visual changes. My sight narrows, and I see flickering lights for 4 to 6 hours. Do you think this is migraine? You know, that's a really interesting question, because I don't know. I don't know if I have an answer for that. We know that migraines and cluster headaches do cause these types of, visual auras and stuff like that. Some people get a weird taste in their mouth. I mean, usually these kind of things come before the headache. But you're not having the headache. So I'm not really sure what that is. You might want to, first of all, just make sure it's not something in your eyes. We know that flickering light, stuff like that, could be some retinal issues, like retinal detachment issues. But that's, if this is happening a lot, that's probably not the case. But assuming this is kind of like this aura type thing that people get before a migraine, it does sure sound like it. I guess technically, maybe it just never develops into the headache pain. This is kind of stumping me. I'm not really sure. If it's not bothering you, I mean, I'm sure sight changes probably is bothering. But if it's not bothering you too much, maybe you just let it go. Hopefully you won't ever develop the actual pain, which can be debilitating for people. But this is a good one. I'm not sure, and because you're asking me, you've probably have already asked your primary care doctor, maybe even a neurologist, and they probably didn't have an answer for you either. But it is interesting, and so I would not really sure where to go with this one at this point. Let's go on to the next question. Are there supplements for HIV? I know that a basic multivitamin can help, but is there anything that fights the virus directly? Well, there is some interesting things out there, but nothing's going to replace the triple therapy, right? Usually you take three different drugs that work on three different parts of the virus, and that's really has saved lives. There's no doubt about that. Most of them are even just one pill a day now, so that's awesome. And so I just want to make sure you understand that I do have some information here that's interesting, but none of this stuff would ever replace prescription therapy, right? So let's just make sure that's clear. Maybe what you do is you do this on top of that prescription therapy, but of course talk to your own doctor first. First of all, there is evidence that soy protein, specifically what are called isoflavones, might be able to block the entrance of HIV into the immune cells. Selenium might be able to block the replication of the cell, and even some mushroom extracts like reishi may also be able to help. So that's soy, selenium, and reishi fighting HIV. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.